The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you don't have one of the top offenses in the league, are you okay with a bend but don't break defense? Because it feels like that's part of the reason why you're so anti-bend but don't break.
Topic number one. What is your position on the role of government in supporting innovation in the field of biotechnology?
Well, Dean, I'm glad that you asked that
actually,
question.
Actually, I'd like to jump in and take that one, Jimmy, if you don't mind.
Have at it, Hoss.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do opposing defensive coordinators say when they're playing the Green Bay Packers? We have to keep
them
Aaron
off
the
field.
So why is our defense
keeping them?
Keep Aaron Rodgers off the field.
And as a corollary, the market for technologies is shrinking. As a world leader, it's important for America to provide systematic research grants for our scientists. I believe strongly that there will always be a need for us to have a well-articulated innovation policy with emphasis on human resource development. Thank you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We've been doing the show for about a year. I think this is one of his best points ever.
What happened? I blocked that.
Well, that was interesting.
I can't get that out of my head.
No, muy bueno.
You know what I mean? That was the best drop.
Thank you very much. And your rebuttal, Mr. Carville.
I can't get that out of my head.
I'm 100% there with you.
We have no response. That was perfect.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing.
Still a year in and we're learning things about each other all the time. How in the world have you never seen Old School? Now, granted, the part of the movie that Ashton just played was towards the end, so you wouldn't have seen that anyway because you only watch comedies halfway, if they're really good, three quarters of the way through. But how have you never seen Old School?
Because it sucked.
How can you know that?
I only watched the one part where he was running naked and got in the car with a bunch of girls and said, is it cold out there, Frank? Who wants some chicken? I tried. I'm like, I couldn't get into it. I don't know. I have my own version of college that I went through, and it was nothing like that. Wasn't it a frat?
But again, like, it's...
We gotta explain the plot of Old School, which is gonna be super fun.
It was a frat, right?
Yeah, but there's a guy who buys, well, I mean, I'm not gonna describe the beginning part of the movie, but the main character ends up buying a house because he's got some marital and family issues, so he ends up buying a house that's on campus and can only be zoned for fraternity use. So they start a fraternity, but it's him and Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell. So these guys that aren't in college start a fraternity for kids that are in college.
And you may not know this, but athletes are anti-frat.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yes.
I'm aware.
How many times do you see so-and-so fighting a frat? We're anti-frat. You know why we're anti-frat?
That was like the only big fight that we got
because
into as a baseball
frat
team.
Frat boys didn't want athletes at their parties.
Yep, fair.
Which usually turned into a fight. Right?
But I mean, again, it's not a regular frat. You know, it's...
But you know what I'm saying.
I 100% know
That's
what
I'm
saying.
That's why I'm anti. But the
Hold on,
just
damn second.
Yeah.
But you love Animal House.
That's a cool frat, right? That's a cool frat.
I'm just pointing out the inconsistencies here.
Yeah, well, that's my life.
I mean, stop trying to get the facts,
game, right?
Yeah, you know what? That's on me.
Muy bueno.
Yes.
That's on me. Speaking of inconsistencies, so ESPN.com, as we continue to ramp up and get ready for the NFL season, which, by the way, the college season started last night.
Loved it.
Did you just break?
I don't know, it was just, you turn on Fox and the picture's so clear and it's college and the pageantry and everything about it. So good. Like, I am so excited for tomorrow.
Tomorrow's going to be a great day.
Tomorrow is going to be awesome. I'll start with a little gin on game day. And then you'll go right
out.
Penn State, Wisconsin.
Can't wait.
And then you go Alabama, Miami, and then finish it off with Clemson and Georgia.
And in the afternoon, if you really want, you can flip to Iowa, Indiana during that Alabama-Miami game. Maybe if Bama starts blowing them out, you can flip over that. There are five, and I think this is like the first time since the 50s that we have had five top 25 matchups on the opening weekend.
Like, I don't understand this. And maybe, and Ashton, you're part of it.
True.
Like, why do people enjoy NFL football so much, which is great, but don't watch a lick of college football?
Because it's better football.
I don't care. It's just the whole gamut of college football game day is so awesome.
And, you know, if you're going to be, you know, putting your own money down, and as gambling continues to get bigger and bigger and be legalized in more and more states, and I haven't heard anything about Oneida. I'm assuming they're going to be in the clear for next week. Their goal was to be able to be up and running and be running a sports book at the Oneida Casino up in Green Bay by the time the NFL season started. Like, I saw the story when it initially hit. Haven't seen any updates on it. But as gambling continues to get bigger and bigger and more states are allowing sports betting, I think most people are just going, okay, let's go to the superior product, and they really don't care about the pageantry and everything else that goes around it.
Do you know people like that? Do you know? Do you know people that just, they love NFL football but don't watch any college football?
Oh, yeah. I know some people like that.
I don't get it. I just, I don't.
Because, again,
college football is just, it's great. It's, you know?
I can see it, though, because it's great watching great NFL quarterbacks. How many great quarterbacks are there in college?
No, I know, but you don't have to deal with the crap. You do deal with a little of the crap. But, I mean, the look at me and this and stand up and, you know. The crap.
You like the fanfare of college football.
I love
football.
The fanfare.
I think that's fair.
I love the innocence, even though it's not innocent.
So
that's a really interesting
point. Perception of innocence just
the perception
sucks
of innocence,
me in.
That is, that. I mean, that's what the NCAA does. So apparently, I was talking with my buddy yesterday, who is a UW alum, he's just recently moved back to Wisconsin. He's been in D.C. for the last 8 years. So, yeah, I mean, he would come back and go to a game every once in a while. To get in tomorrow, it's only going to be like $40.
That's it?
To get into the Badger Penn State game.
Because it's 11 o'clock
game? No idea. You would think it would be really hard to get a ticket, and people wouldn't be putting their tickets on the secondary market because it's the first game you'd be able to go to since 2019.
Yeah. Nice weather. Supposed to
beautiful
be nice.
Day.
The rain's coming today, and they thought it was going to come tomorrow, but it should be not. It's not going to be too hot. It's going to be perfect. That place will be crazy.
Wow, that's 100%. I was looking it up to see if like how serious that was on one of the third-party ticket sites from $40 up. I'm seeing like dozens of tickets under $100.
Yeah. Get in for a top 25 matchup.
Like, the tailgating tomorrow will be insane.
Oh,
right?
Wisconsin College Game Day is back. It's going to be in full swing.
Yeah.
You can listen to Wisconsin College Game Day right here on 94.5 ESPN from 9 until 11. They're going to have a whole cast of characters tomorrow just feeding off that. And I mean, I used to do those shows when I was in Madison. I've done a few ever since I've worked here in Milwaukee. Feeding off the crowd while you're standing up on that scaffolding and like you've got the tailgate behind. It is awesome.
So is Fox, the one who worked last night, the Ohio State Minnesota game, are they essentially just packing up and going to Wisconsin? Because it's a Fox game.
It would make sense to me if they did that, if they just took that crew.
That's their equivalent of ESPN's College Game Day?
Yeah, but it's different because, like, College Game Day, if you want to talk about pageantry, I mean, that's why Jen's not here. You know, if Jen was just doing the, you know, sitting on a desk, but like they do for the Fox kickoff, I mean, Jen's not here because College Game Day is this huge, big production. They put on a Migos concert last week as part of, you know, one double A. You know, challenge between HBCUs, and this is what, you know, ESPN does. They turn it into a big spectacle.
You know what?
Whenever they come to Madison, like people get up early, they go out by, you know, they go to the hill, they line up. But for Fox, it's just like it's almost like an NFL pregame where they've got a bunch of dudes just sitting around.
Now,
the desk.
I'm going to stop the tape.
I'm not stopping it. I'm marking it, if anything.
Oh, boy. Are
well,
you
then
say
I'm not
going to
say what I was going to say.
Are you going to say something disparaging about college game day?
It's not disparaging. It's just what I...
I'll stop it. I'm not stopping it, Gabe.
Outside of Jen, I like the Fox broadcast more than I like game day.
We have breaking news.
The pregame or the...
I like
everything.
Reggie Bush. I love the addition of Bob Stoops. And I think Corso drags the show down. Herbie's great. Pollock, eh. Desmond, eh. I'm just saying. I think I like the Fox game day more so,
okay,
than
so the
I
pregame
like,
show.
Yeah.
But do you like Fowler and Herbstreit better, or do you like Gus and Klatt better?
I don't like Klatt. I don't know. It's not that I don't like him. I just, he's eh.
And I understand.
Herbie's great. Herbie's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, you wanted Herbie to make the transition to the NFL. You thought that when they were looking for a new broadcast team for Monday Night Football, you thought it was a real possibility that he slid over and did Monday Night Football because it's such a big property and ESPN spends so much money on it.
Fowler's good. I just like the athletes that Fox has over ESPN.
Over ESPN.
Yes. Yeah, I just do. Anyone with me? Am I crazy?
I mean, are you crazy?
Well, I know I'm crazy.
I'm not crazy about Leinart and Brady Quinn. Like, you probably get rid of one
Quinn's
of them.
I think Quinn's good.
Yeah, you probably get rid of Leinart.
Get rid of Leinart.
Like, you don't need both of them.
Reggie Bush, I think, is better than Desmond.
Yeah.
Quinn's better than Pollock. Herbie's better than, I guess, Stoops. Right?
Yeah.
If they would just, I mean,
but here's
Corso,
the thing, they don't have
Cinema.
Jen, when you're listening back to this, I just want the record to reflect that Ashton and I are standing up for your show. They just don't have a Jen.
I said Jen was great. It's the other supporting cast. Can we put that on the poll without her knowing?
Nope.
You're a worm.
I know. She'll see it without her knowing. I can't just not. She can't just not see
Wait,
it.
Wait, what do you want the question to be? Does Jen
Which
carry college game day?
Which pregame show do you like better? College Game Day or Fox?
Say that again.
Minus Jen, because Jen, you know,
does
Jen
carry
she's
college
in a category
game day?
By herself. That's why Fox doesn't even want to compete. They don't even give them a job equivalent to Jen's. Like,
how mad would Jen be if I put that on the poll?
Does Jen carry college game day?
Do it,
she would be
do it
so
if she
angry.
Sees it.
Uh-uh.
Don't no, be a what? Grow a set.
You get into
Jen's
her.
Jen's got a bigger set than you.
Well, she's got a bigger set than all of us.
Good point.
let's be honest. Like, let's just put
just
our cards
put it
on
the
table.
Pole.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it.
Oh, I thought we were growing with you, Ashton.
What would have indicated that? The Richard Show?
Yeah,
I mean, that was a big step. That was a big step forward. Again, you can listen to The Richard Show if you have no idea what we're talking about. Find it at Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. Was that only last week?
That was a week ago. Yeah,
was it? It felt like so long ago.
That's like 7 years ago at this point. Jason Wilde is going to join us to talk about the Green Bay Packers. Craig Karmazin still to come this hour as well. ESPN.com putting out that the Packers' ceiling is 12-5. Their floor is 7-10. Seems a little low on the floor. I think the floor's higher than that. I think the ceiling's a little bit higher than that. We'll ask Jason Wilde his opinion. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
I don't want to cast any aspersions. This just feels like there's something fishy.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That would tell me that they don't. They think they can be successful no matter who they put out there on the offensive line.
Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. Jason, how much college football do you watch? Do you watch a lot of the pregame stuff? Do you get into the pageantry of college football?
No, I watch a fair number of games, though.
So, if I asked you, does Jen carry College Game Day, what would your response to that be?
Jen's on College Game Day?
Yes, she is, Jason.
Laughing like
I'm in trouble, too, because I threw it out there. Did you watch any of the Ohio State-Minnesota game last night?
I did. Jen wasn't on.
No, but Jason, I said...
No, it was on Fox, so Jen
was on. It was
on
Fox, so I said, outside of Jen, take Jen out of the equation, I like the Fox pregame show more than I like College Game Day.
Yeah, I'm torn on this because I do like good storytelling, and there are often good stories told on those. I just don't want to watch all that stuff. Like, I want to watch games. I don't, you know, I'm a busy guy. I got a lot going on.
Oh, I know.
And I don't watch the NFL pregames either. I just wait to see people tweet out if, like, Jay Glazer said anything newsworthy affecting the Packers.
Jason,
like,
that's because you're busy listening to, you know, Packers preview with Dennis Krause, Gabe Neitzel, and James Jones on the Packers Radio Network.
That is 1,000% true. I really love Hub Arkish. He does a great job.
Who? Hub Arkish?
Yes.
He's my favorite guy on that show.
All right.
Oh, I take that back. He's my second favorite guy. My favorite guy, of course, is Wes Hodgkin.
Yep, knew that was coming. Wes is fantastic. I love it when Wes joins and we do the roundtable. It's fantastic. Speaking of guys that are your guys, Rob Domofsky over at ESPN.com, every NFL Nation reporter doing a ceiling and a floor for their team. So Domofsky put the Packers ceiling at 12-5, floor at 7-10. Those seemed like a game low to both me and Chu. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. You know, I don't want to get off on a journalism 101 rant here, but I know that those are assigned to all 32 of the NFL Nation folks. But, like, I, as a consumer, don't really care what Rob's predicting it. I really don't. Like, I would rather learn more about players that are on the team than have some joker or Rob predicting what their ceiling and floor are. Like that, you know, if we're going to talk about the stuff we like, pregame shows or the actual games, or like, this is the kind of stuff. This is a much longer conversation, but this is not what I signed up to do. I signed up to tell people stories, not make a bunch of predictions. And that was one of the worst things about the Rodgers saga, was that we spent so much time trying to predict what was going to happen. And I would rather tell you stories about how things happen. Like last night, like, you know, Al Harris and Charles Woodson going to the Packers Hall of Fame, joining Chewy. And I knew, because both those guys, those are my guys. Like, Al Harris, I've known for a really, really long time. We hit it off the minute he got to Green Bay in 03. And he's the one who vouched for me with Charles Woodson, which led to Charles trusting me. Like, I love those guys almost as much as I love you, Chewy. Like,
thanks, buddy.
They were fantastic to me. And so as we went through the press conference beforehand, you know, I got to see them both and give them both a hug and congratulate them. But I chose to tell the story of, and you can read this at Madison.com, of how both of them left, right? Because you guys both remember this. You know, Al Harris suffers that catastrophic knee injury in 2009 and just works tirelessly to get back, is on the PUP, gets to the point where he's ready to be cleared in November to rejoin the team, and they cut him. That's a Super Bowl team, remember? And then there was, you know, the story of him getting his ring and whatever else, but he does not come off PUP and start playing. He's one of the few times where I've seen a player finish his time on PUP and get released. Went and played for Miami briefly, and then the next year played for the Rams and then retired. Charles Woodson got released on my birthday in 2013 after he thought he was going to finish his career in Green Bay. And they both told the stories of getting this. And Chewy, I assume you got one of these too. There's this letter that you get that tells you why you've been terminated. Right? And it has a section for why.
Correct.
And so in Al's case, it says something about due to injury, he is incapable of playing at this level anymore. And in Charles's case, it says something to the effect of he is no longer able to compete at his position. Now think about this. These are two guys that went into the Hall of Fame. And they both, you know, I asked them both about it because I knew those stories and I'd never really told them. And because I asked them in the perspective of, you know, does it take a while when you're told you're not good enough anymore, to then love the organization again and come back and celebrate all the great things that happened here like they were last night. And they were both phenomenal talking about that. And so those are the kinds of things that I want to read about, and I hope most people want to read about. I don't want to try and predict what the Packers are going to do. And again, this is not a shot at Bob because I know he's assigned this. And he did, for example, a fantastic story. I can't recommend it enough, about Cole Van Lannen, who grew up in Green Bay, went to Bayport High School, went to UW, and now is on the practice squad. I mean, it's the kind of stuff that this is why I wanted to do this job. I did not want to do this job to say, I think their ceiling is 12-5, and then have two knuckleheads say, well, I think their ceiling is 13-4.
Yeah.
That's how. And, you know.
Well,
I didn't mean to get.
Jason, I didn't. So you went to the induction last night.
No. So, again, much like when you went into the Hall of Fame, you big jerk.
You had to sit in the truck.
A certain number of seats. And so Bill Johnson got the last ticket. So I watched in a production truck buddy Chew went into the hall. This time they don't even have a production truck. So I just went home and wrote my story.
So I didn't realize that I was instrumental in bringing Al Harris to Green Bay. I found that out last night.
That sounds like a story I would have liked to have heard last night.
So, Mike, you
sounds
heard
like a great
him.
Story we should have started the
so
show with.
So you heard him, Al Harris, thank Mike Sherman to the nth degree for trading for him and bringing him to Green Bay. Right, Jason?
Well, no, I didn't, because I didn't hear the speech.
Oh, well, he did. He went on and said thanks to Mike Sherman for trusting me. So how that happens is, and I've talked about it a ton on the show, we're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Gabe, the game I sucked was horrible. Remember I was dropping balls left
yep.
and right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's this nickel guy that is playing me in man. And it's Al Harris. And I'm like, I didn't really know who he was. He was young, but he was like a fly. I wanted to smack him. So when I think a guy's good, or I don't think he's good, I'm like, my thing is, I'm going to knock you upside the head back when you could.
Sure.
And I couldn't do it. He was like a fly that I was trying to catch. So he'd get into my body, Jason, and right when I'm about to smack him, he would back off, and I would whiff, and it would throw me off balance. So I sucked that game. It's the only game in my career I can remember I was terrible. So the fact that Mike Sherman said, hey, Al Harris shut down Chewy,
yeah,
I'm going to trade for him, and he's going to be awesome for the Green Bay Packers. So I feel a little responsible.
Chewy, as a fan of the Green Bay Packers who enjoyed the Al Harris years, thank you. Thank you for doing
yeah.
that.
Thank you, Chew. Yeah.
Well,
thank
you heard you, me Chew. Say, Jason, Jason and I've told him on this show, it's the only game where I quote, unquote, ran to be covered. And that's the story I'm going with. But he was good. Let me tell you what, Al Harris, he was not only tough, he was a good player, a very good player.
So Brian Engel, who is better known as Flea around the, who is a trainer, he was the one who obviously presented Charles for induction because he, you know, they became very close because Flea had to get him ready to play every week. I mean, his first year, Woodson had this really bad shoulder injury, and yet he somehow managed to play through it.
And he was returning punts.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? What a time to be alive. Hall of Famer returning punts. But he talked about both Wood and Al Harris and said pound for pound, they're the two toughest guys I've ever worked with. And you know, what was amazing about Al was he had like 1% body fat. I mean, he was so wiry, and yet he was a bad mamma jamma. Like, he was so physical and just so tough, and I always was fascinated by that because he was never the biggest guy. He was long, but he was very wiry, but yet his style of play, he was as physical as one I've ever seen.
And competitive as ever, Jason, because you guys remember the Brett Favre charity game in Madison, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Al Harris, who's and I didn't really know Al, But he is going at it with Willie Gault. And Willie Gault is getting so ticked off of him because Al thinks it's the NFC Championship game and he's up in his grill and he's just destroying Willie Gault. And Willie Gault is getting so pissed off. And we're barreled over on the sideline laughing. And Al didn't think it was funny at all. He thought there was a Pro Bowl voting for retired players. It was, I mean, yeah. Unbelievable.
So Jason, that's the stuff I love.
Yeah.
Sorry about ruining your discussion of the Packers ceiling and floor.
Well, hey, more than okay, because we got a Chewy story that would have been great to start the show, but instead, this is why we have you on, Jason, so you can drag this stuff out of Chewy.
Jason's the best.
I'm just playing my part. I'm doing my 111.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the final weekend without NFL football.
Yep. All right, boys. Take care. Be good. Thanks a lot.
Jason Wilde, all Packers, all the time. We talk with Craig Karmazin coming up next. Jane, Game, and Chewy.
They need to see if he can play. Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest Packers preseason, you know, football that we've had in 15 years.
GKB President Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday.
Craig, you're a consumer of all these different sports and pregame shows and things that happen. Would you say that Jen carries College Game Day?
Yes.
Okay.
So I should put it on the poll then.
Yeah, put it on the poll, Craig. Right. And I started off the show. You like college football, right? You're a college football
love
fan.
Love college football.
And I said, did you
but
watch
it? I don't know anything about college football anymore. Like, I was realizing that when I watched Ohio State last night. I feel like back in the day I would have known like 14 players on Ohio State. And now I knew like one or two.
That's because you were doing the most popular pregame show, you know, in the state of Wisconsin back in the day, Craig. You were the man on the street, you know, the old Badger Bash before it became Wisconsin College Game Day.
Right. I mean, back when it was Badger Blitz.
Oh, Badger Blitz.
Badger Blitz,
that's
yeah.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, like, I feel like one of those people when they talk about college basketball now, like how, like, no one knows any players. I mean,
yeah.
And the Badgers have like sixth year seniors now. Like, college football is a totally different sport. I don't even know what's going on.
What do you like better, pro or college? See, I like college better just because of the pageantry and all of that.
I think I like NFL football more just because I have more going on with the fantasy and the, you know, like all the different stuff. Like, I think there's just so much more that goes into it. So I would go NFL. But remember, last year's Badger season was so disjointed. Like, it's hard to even remember what a college football Saturday was like, which is why it's so exciting that not only does the season start, but it starts with, like, a Big Ten real game. Like, I mean, I don't know. Badgers haven't lost a Big Ten opener since I've lived here. I mean, I've lived here, you know, since I moved here in 1997, and they would always just win their home openers. They've never had a game like this Penn State game.
No, but what's the reasoning behind college football? I mean, I know you have to sprinkle in a few big games the first weekend out, but when's the last time they ever started Big Ten schedule right off the bat? I mean, it's usually two or three layup games, and then, all right, let's get into this.
They've done this the last couple of years where they've started with conference games, and it's
TV revenue?
No, it's the SEC. Like, the SEC drives everything. So the SEC, you know, first would do some bigger non-conference games that would then dominate Labor Day weekend, and then they actually, you know, moved up a game or two. And once the SEC decides to do it, everyone else has to follow suit.
Yeah.
You're going to fall so far behind. So you either need to put up big time non-conference games or you need to, you know, get some relevant games playing early.
But Craig, the one thing that they don't dominate is the money, because the Big Ten is the top of the food chain.
No,
if you,
not
yes,
anymore.
It is. If you look at the game, we looked at this before, and it was Big Ten, SEC.
So that's the new SEC deal. So the Big Ten, each school has always made the most money. The deal they did with Fox to create the Big Ten network made the Big Ten by far the most lucrative conference. But the new SEC deal will give, you know, the average SEC school just from their TV money, I think is like $65 million, whereas the Big Ten's like 35 or 40. I mean, it's the SEC new deal will now dwarf the revenue from the Big Ten.
Yeah, because last year, per USA Today, gross revenue each Power 5 league collected, Big Ten was $768.9 million. SEC was $728.9 million. So the Big Ten made $40 million more in 2020 than the SEC.
Yeah, so that's in the
old
deal.
And then the schools are getting more money because there are fewer schools in the Big Ten than there are in the SEC.
Yep, and so the new SEC deal per school will just crush it. You know, ESPN... did a new deal with the SEC, and the SEC now will be almost double the number that the Big Ten's getting. But the Big Ten has for the last 15 years or so, been the on average the schools have had the most money.
What do you think eventually is going to happen though, Craig? Because the SEC has really become the powerhouse, and I just saw today that the Big 12 is trying to bring in Houston and BYU. The Big 12 has got to realize that, hey, we've got to join somewhere
else. Yeah, the Big 12's over, right?
Yeah, I know,
but the Big 12's over.
But where do we go?
Yeah, so it's you get rid of the NCAA. No one cares about that. You have a 64-team power league that is the way I think people will look at it, with 16 teams in the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. You then bring in a commissioner not for each of those leagues, because that's where it's ridiculous. And this is a football only thing. We're not talking about every sport. Mm-hmm. You still need volleyball and all these things in other leagues, but you get one commissioner over the 64 teams who could really look at this as, a powerful revenue generating football, thing.
Craig, Chewy was just telling a story of how Al Harris was taking the Brett Favre charity game back in 2015 or 16 when Favre was making his rounds when he was retired and doing all the things back here in Wisconsin. They had a charity, touch football game or flag football game, whatever, at Camp Randall Stadium. And Al Harris probably took it a little too seriously because he was jamming Willie Gault at the line of scrimmage. And Willie Gault was getting frustrated. So my question to you is, is there an instance where you have taken a sporting event that you have participated in a little too seriously the way Al Harris did? And the reason why we shared that story is because Al Harris went into the Packers Hall of Fame last night.
Well, yeah, I could tell you one. Me and Craig were playing tennis and I think this might have been during my Hall of Fame induction. So we went up to my buddy's house, and me and Craig were screwing around playing tennis. I was playing with no shoes on. I was working them like a fiddle. He was trying his hardest at first, but as soon as I started working him, he backed it off like, I don't want to pull a hamstring before the thing, So Craig is uber competitive to a point.
How do you recall the score of that match? Like, how do you, like, when you remember that tennis, how do you remember what happened?
There's a lot of love. I think it was like 45 love. Is love negative or good positive?
Love is Craig. Assume the way you're telling the story, if you're saying there's a lot of love, you're saying that Craig did not score much.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. All right, tell your side of it.
We played 2 points, Gabe. 2 total points. Because Chewy was wearing no shoes. Chewy hit the ball really well. I think I won both of the points, but I was really impressed because Chewy hit the ball really well. And that's how he changes the story.
That's how I remember it.
But he really did. Like, Chewy is such a sick athlete. He literally was. No shoes, doesn't play tennis, and, like, played, like, an unbelievable rally and had 2 great points with no shoes on. I remember we played 2-on-2 basketball, and we had just hired a kid in the company. And for some reason, I have in my mind, like, some people, and Chewy, I feel like you've said this, like, when you used to play a ton of golf, that you could figure out if you'd want to be friends with someone just by seeing how they play golf and what their golf etiquette is. And
yeah.
Gabe, I don't know if you subscribe to that theory, like, how you play golf is, like, how you live your life. Are you one of those?
Not necessarily, but I can see it.
Like people who cheat, people who, people have good etiquette. Like, you kind of know what someone's like. So I kind of think that with basketball. And so we had hired a kid, and we were playing 2-on-2 basketball, and he was on my team, and we were losing. And I guess I kind of forgot, like, that I'm the CEO of the company, and I was
president.
on him so much that I literally brought the kid to tears because I was just so into the game and telling him how mad I was at him and how soft he was playing and all that. So I literally had no idea until like that night when people called me and were like, you can't do that to people. Like, he was literally crying and we were playing 2-on-2 basketball.
So did you eventually beat Harper and her friend?
No, it was not Harper and her friend.
Oh, okay. Now, Craig's defense, I'm trying to think of an NBA player he reminds me of because he can't play D a lick. He's slow, but he can shoot. He's kind of sneaky and a decent passer, right?
I think I'm kind of like playoff Rondo.
But you can shoot better than playoff Rondo.
No, playoff Rondo can knock down the open three.
Give me a slow guy. Who is the slowest small guy in the NBA? Probably John Stockton at like 75. That's who you would remind me of.
I was going to say Kirk Heinrich.
Oh, for the Bulls?
Yeah.
All right, that's kind of... Craig, I'm giving you props. Would you agree, though? I mean, defense is not your strong suit.
Wait.
Like a righty Derek Fisher.
Wait, you think what you just did was giving Craig props?
I said he could shoot.
After you said everything else about his game is bad.
Have you
and
looked?
I would only be able to be compared to a 75-year-old.
Gabe, he can't bench the bar.
No, he can now. He's been doing... Craig, what are you up to on the bench? You got to be up to what, like 145 now?
140. No.
So I've been working out. I worked out with my trainer at 6 a.m. this morning. I've worked out 3 times a week with my trainer since COVID's happened, but I do it over Zoom from my house. So, like... I do push-ups, I do different things, but I don't know because I haven't been near equipment. So that would be a mystery. Could I actually bench the bar? I don't know. And I could bench the bar. It was the one thing on each side. What's that called?
135. I wanted you to get to 135. Yeah. I gave you the information to get one to 135, but you wouldn't do it. And creatine doesn't hurt you, Craig.
I got to 125. I got to 130.
Yes.
And then I had like one of the Bucks cheerleaders there. It was like this big moment. Everyone was taking the picture, and I didn't get it.
You'll get that one.
And I didn't mean to just say I couldn't get it up. That's just not a sound clip that I want.
That you want out there living in perpetuity.
Yes.
Ashton's really good at his job. That's going to be the issue here for you.
But Ashton's also really scared of me.
So yes, he's scared of everyone. There. That's not a big deal, Craig. It's not like, oh, I can beat up this 6'6 guy named Ashton.
I mean, he's more scared of Jen, though.
Who, which, Craig or Ashton?
Both.
Oh. Well, everyone's afraid of Jen.
Are you scared of Jen, Craig?
No. Jen is the best. Do you know how...
Hey, no. I didn't say that she wasn't, because Jen is the best. I love Jen. I am also terrified of her.
No, not terrified of Jen. And I met Jen at Eve. Do you know what Eve is?
Supper club in Green Bay,
Milwaukee. I bet you Chewy knows what Eve is.
The supper club in was that Eve's? Why do I remember Eve's, Craig?
No, Eve was like a nightclub in Milwaukee back 17 years ago.
I think I was on the shelf by then.
Yeah, so this was 2004.
Okay.
It was my first night out in Milwaukee. Literally, first night out in Milwaukee. We had this station, like, in the trailer back in Waukesha.
Oh, yeah.
And I get invited to go to Eve. And, like, they bring me into the VIP room. And I'm feeling all cool, like, because they think I'm, like, with ESPN, like, TV and, you know, everything. Because they're here. ESPN is in town. And so they're like, all right, we have someone we need you to meet. And they bring Jen in and they're like, she's a former Marquette cheerleader who's now doing TV in Rockford, Illinois. And so this is 17 years ago. And so I just start peppering her with sports questions and Jen friggin' bang, 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 nails all of them. And she literally, I think she'd just graduated college. Unbelievably impressive from day one.
That was a horrible story.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought there would be more to it. Like, Jen got in a fight and she punched this guy.
Well, yeah, Craig didn't want to tell the part where Jen beat him up.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, actually, then a girl spilled a drink on Jen, and Jen ended up getting into something with her, and I've been scared of Jen ever since.
There we go.
I can't tell that.
There we go.
She did tell me she got into a scuffle at, what was the place on Water Street? Egan's. Remember Egan's, Craig?
No.
Yeah,
I've never been there, but I know the name.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, have her tell you that story.
Craig, we certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy the final weekend with no professional football.
I love that it opens with talking about how Jen dominates how Jen dominates college game day and ends with Jen dominating bar fights.
Jen dominates.
Even with Jen not here, it's amazing how she can dominate the show.
This is a good point.
Thanks, buddy, guys. See ya.
Craig Karmazin joins us each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you love pizza? Join Palermo's Pizza Crew. Palermo's Pizza has been making great tasting frozen pizza right here in Wisconsin for over 55 years. They want you to be part of their pizza crew. Palermo's Pizza has immediate openings for production team members. They offer a $1,000 sign-on bonus, competitive wages, and a great benefits package that includes free pizza. Visit PalermoVillaInc.com/careers to apply today. Have fun while being a part of a team that makes some of the best tasting pizza available. Palermo's, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can you say this? Can you still say kick at the cat?
What the hell does that mean?
You never heard that term? One more kick
Show
at the
hands.
Cat?
Show of hands. Who's heard?
You guys never
heard. Kick of the cat.
Well, all right, Google it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
To say, put the past away. Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in.
Jason had to get it out of Chewy. Chewy didn't feel like offering the story up on his own. And in fact, he had hinted at the story on the air previously that there was a game in his career where he ran to get covered, where he just struggled. It wasn't a good game. Come to find out that Al Harris was a big reason for
that.
That Al Harris was just getting in Chewy's grill and getting Chewy off of his game because at the time Al Harris was playing for the Philadelphia Eagles as their nickelback before he came to Green Bay. Charles Woodson, Al Harris going to the Packers Hall of Fame last night. So, A, Chewy, you know, shares that story. B, the other story that he then shared was Al Harris was a part of the Brett Favre charity touch football game that happened at Camp Randall Stadium back in 2015-16 when Brett was making all the rounds, when he was going into the Hall of Fame, the Packers Hall of Fame, and his name was going up on the facade of the stadium up at Lambeau Field. And Al Harris got into the grill of Willie Gault. He was jamming him at the line of scrimmage. He was giving a mid-50-year-old Willie Gault trouble. Willie Gault's 61 years old. Or is he about to turn 61, Ash?
He turned 61 in 2 days. Happy early birthday, Willie Gault.
All right, so Willie Gault's turning 61 in 2 days. So at the time of this, Willie Gault's like 55 years old, and Al Harris is jamming him at the line of scrimmage in a charity touch football game. So the question that I am asking you, 800-990-3776, share the story where you were probably a little overcompetitive in a game or situation that really didn't matter. That ultimately it didn't matter, but you thought at the time that it really mattered.
He must have been a rookie, because I'm looking at 97. That was in September.
I mean, he was 98.
I remember it was a Monday night.
I found the stat.
Or a Sunday night game.
You guys won the game.
Yeah, they stunk. The Eagles were terrible. What, was Al a rookie?
Al was a rookie that year.
Okay.
You had three catches and four drops.
I didn't have four drops.
you were targeted seven times, big guy. You only had three catches. I mean, I'm doing the math.
What? It's my fault all the time?
Not
overthrown?
My guess is Brett was accurate every
That's
throw.
That's the most defensive he's ever been.
Let me see. All right, hold on, Ashton.
Speaking about being overcompetitive.
Three catches for 17 yards?
I think it was like 24. I closed the page.
Better than I thought. Yeah, that's a good day.
Chewy ran to be covered.
Yeah, that's very Mercedes Lewis-ish.
800-990-3776. The story for me goes back to when I was at Platteville. And it wasn't a baseball game. So I was a part of the student radio station, and they would always do like a big thing on campus with all these different student organizations, and they would have, you know, kind of like, I don't know if it was like a tournament, but it was like a kickball tournament as part of a larger thing. And because I was an athlete, I took this kickball game very seriously. And I didn't think I was taking it that seriously, but everybody started calling me Lou Piniella, and not like in an endearing way.
Yeah, so that...
That apparently
I don't think
I was
that's
a little
competitive. I think that's a try hard.
No, my I was a little too intense during a college kickball game.
My oldest brother is a tool, okay? But I remember he would always take on the kids in the neighborhood, which were like 10 and 12 years old while he was like 28, you know, and trying his hardest to beat them. It was like bench warmers, you know? And we all sat there and went, what a loser. And he would walk in the house and repeat his stats. Yeah. 28 points, 6 threes.
You're telling me there's not a situation.
So are you a try-hard or are you a competitive person?
No, I'm a competitive person.
And
I didn't, like I said, I didn't think I was taking it. I didn't think I was taking it that seriously until everyone started calling me Lou Piniella.
Well, that would make you a try-hard. See, I think you can't shut it off.
Well, the, yeah, because I can't. No, I can't. I 100% cannot shut off the competitiveness.
Okay.
I think we're talking about different things. Being competitive and being a tryhard are two different things.
No, I agree. I'm just trying to get to the point, are you a tryhard or a competitive person? Like, you may have a little bit of my brother in you.
Just any situation, I don't want to lose, man.
Even if it's 10-year-olds?
I mean, they got to learn a lesson somehow, Chip.
There you go. Start calling you Mitch Chimura. Yeah! 4 home runs in wiffle ball.
That sounds like a good day.
Oh, gosh.
More of your stories, Jed Gabe and Chewy continues next.